Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our next guest is the actor and musician Common, who has an award-nominated song in the Ava DuVernay documentary 13th and a new album called Black America Again, the title of which you could hear as a riff on Make America Great Again. Thanks so much for coming on today. It's great to have you here.
It's great to see you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And let me just start with a little sample for our listeners from Black America Again.
Here we go again. Trayvon will never get to be an older man. Black children, they childhood stole from them, robbed of our names and our language. Stole again. Who stole the soul from black folk? Same man that stole the lamp from cheap black smoke and made the whip crackle on our back.
And this was released just a few days prior to the presidential election.
Yes.
Is the title a kind of a riff on the Trump slogan in any way for you?
You know, honestly, it was more about like the consistent dehumanization of black people in America, saying again, like, you know, when another human being was being killed, I was like, wow, again. So it was like Black America Again. But then, you know, I'm a hopeful human being, so I started also thinking that context of Black America Again being, we're going to write a new story, a new narrative. So it really initiated with that. The whole Make America Great Again, it kind of did feel like a rebuttal eventually, but that's how art is. To me, you create things and people get their own interpretation.
And Common fans, you don't get a lot of chances to ask them a question, but our lines are open, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Staying on that answer, in a CNN interview just before the election, you talked about a silver lining to Trump's campaign regarding race issues getting brought to the forefront. Does it feel that way still in the context of his actually winning, which you didn't expect during that interview?
Yes. I definitely, you know, wasn't expecting Trump to win. And you know, I felt the disappointment and pain of you know, that some people, a lot of us have felt in this country. But I still believe that the racism needed to come to the surface. I think that it's an issue that we can't hide from in America just because we've had this, you know, great human being as Barack Obama as president, our president and first lady. That didn't stop people, you know, as soon as they had the chance from saying, yeah, it's good to see that ape in heels, you know, people tweeting, you know, saying ignorant things about our so we know about our first lady and president. We know that existed. It needs to come to the surface. So, yes.
And I saw that you were recently featured on Lin-Manuel Miranda's The Hamilton mixtape.
Yeah.
And you've said that Hamilton inspired this new album. In what way?
Well, it's genius. So anything that great is inspiration for me. But just being in the theater watching people appreciate the artistry, like Hamilton is not one ounce of dumbing down the lyrics or straying away from the artistry of hip hop and contemporary music. So to watch people who don't listen to hip hop digest Hamilton and really appreciate it made me see that, you know, if you just deliver the art at the highest level and stay true to the core of what your intention is, you know, you could reach the people that you want to. And I just appreciated the art and was inspired.
Unbelievable how that reaches people on so many levels, right?
I mean,
super informed and the mass audience all at once.
All at once. And it's like, I watched it. I went last night, so this was like my fourth time seeing it. First time with the new cast. And it just, on so many levels, I felt happy to be an American citizen. Like, I felt like respect for people who, like, had, you know, did things in America, like whether it was, you know, Thomas Jefferson or Alexander Hamilton, you know, or, you know, I just felt a certain reverence and saw the humanity in them to a certain degree. And, you know, so it brings us together. And I that's another thing that inspired me, man. It's like, I want to create art that brings people together.
And you're here partly because of your participation in the recent Netflix documentary, 13th, which looks at race and the criminal justice system in the context of the 13th Amendment and the legacy of slavery. And your song from that, Letter to the Free, has been nominated for the Critics' Choice Documentary Award, Best Song in a Documentary. It's the title track, and let me play a little of that for our listeners.
Southern leaves, southern trees we hung from, barren souls, heroic songs unsung. Forgive them, Father, they know this knot is undone. Tied with the rope that my grandmother died. Pride of the pilgrims affect lives of millions. In slave days, separating fathers from children. Institution ain't just a building, but a method of having black and brown bodies fill them. We ain't seen as human beings with feelings. Will the U.S. ever be us, Lord willing? For now we know the new Jim Crow, the stop, search, and arrest stops.
All right. Shouldn't even be necessary, but can you remind our listeners of the connection between the 13th Amendment? You know, we had a congressman here yesterday, Democratic congressman, who's trying to fight Trump's business conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And he sat here and said, we have to remind people what the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution is. So he did that.
Yeah.
13th Amendment to the Constitution. Everybody should know, but not everybody
knows.
Yeah,
not everyone knows. And it's great that Ava DuVernay, you know, created this documentary because it educated a lot of us. And the 13th Amendment, you know, it abolishes slavery, but it says that, you know, unless you commit a crime, you know, slavery is abolished unless you commit a crime. So that basically says that anybody deemed a criminal is subject to being enslaved. And I think, you know, that's what our prison system has become. It's a form of slavery. That's why we don't hear much about it, but there's been protests going on within the prisons about how they've been dehumanized and treated less than in our criminal justice system and prison system.
We did a segment on it explicitly a few months ago. People don't ever think about how you can sentence people to labor.
Yeah.
And that's where that comes up.
Yes.
Right? You cannot only sentence people to imprisonment, incarceration, having their freedom restricted. You can sentence people to labor.
Yes, you sentence people to labor. I mean, When we examined slavery, really, I mean, it wasn't just a racial thing. It was a business. Like, it was like, you know, free labor. And that's what this prison system is has become, especially with the, you know, the private prisons. And, you know, all these businesses connected to it. And it's just, and honestly, even for people coming out of prison, you know, who've served their time, just trying to get back into society is already a struggle is to get jobs and, you know, to get housing and to be able to vote in some states is not allowed if you've been convicted of certain things. So
I came across a funny story about how you convinced Ava DuVernay to include your song in 13th that involves Obama.
Yeah.
Can you tell that story?
Yeah, well, you know, Ava, I found out Ava was doing the documentary 13th, and I really just read Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow. And it was heavy, you know, on my heart to talk about this. So when I knew she was doing the 13th, I was like, I wanted to submit a song. But she said, well, you could submit a song, but, you know, I don't know. Well, it was President Obama's birthday party at the White House, and I saw Ava over there, and I approached her. I had drank a little of the White House wine, and it was great. And I approached her, and I started the first verse that I written with what we just played, Southern Leaves, Southern Trees We Hung From, I started rapping this in her ear. And she felt it. And I later found out that she was also paying attention because the president was like 5 feet away from her. So she was listening to me, but
divided attention.
Yeah, of course, it's the president.
You don't get that moment, that chance every moment.
Right. So I at least got to the point where she loved it enough to send me the doc. You know, it wasn't the final cut, but she said, okay, I really like what you wrote. I'm going to send you the doc, and you can submit a song. And we created the song Letter to the Free, and she loved it.
And so she called you up and said, come and try to talk to me when I'm going to get my 4 seconds with the president of the United States.
She was like, look, I don't want to hear your rap. There's the president right there. But, man, I mean, I think she was, you know, really pleased when once we sent her the song, she actually ended up changing the end of the film to show, you know, throughout all this, you know, her story just talking about slavery, the mass incarceration and the oppression of black people and black and brown people. She showed the joy and the love at the end with all these beautiful pictures. and had the song playing at the end, the end title song. So that was really, that made me happy because it felt even more like a collaboration for us.
Michelle in Rockland County, you're on WNYC with Common. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, hi. I just want to call and tell Common thanks for constantly making positive music. I have young kids, and my oldest is a 10-year-old, and sometimes I struggle to find music for him to listen to. So as he gets older and he's starting to be curious about rap, I know that I can always keep Common in the back of my mind because he talked about things that are relevant to my son, who's a black boy. And I just want to let him know that as a parent of three black boys, that I truly appreciate him being a positive role model.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And I want to say that's inspiring to me. And I also want to be clear that, like, you know, I'm a black man in America, but I speak from a place of a child of God that loves, you know, people and loves humanity. So I believe that this music can reach the white kid, the Latino kid, the Asian kid, the Native American kid. Like, it's no separation. It's all a togetherness in it. So thank you for that.
Julie, you're on WNYC with Common. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I just had a question for Common. I'm a member of the Kane University community, and we were so excited about having Common come and speak for our commencement last year. Unfortunately, our administration decided somewhat at the last minute not to make that happen. I just was wondering if you would like to comment on that, and I'll take the comment off.
Yes, I was really enthused to come to Kane and speak. I know the administration decided, but I don't remember the specific reason anymore. Do you remember why? I think it was either a song I did. It might have been a song I did for a political prisoner whose name is Masada Shakur. It may have been because of that I former Black Panther, or a woman who is now, you know, who's, I read her autobiography, and it really inspired me, and I definitely didn't believe that she was a person who was accused of was guilty of what she was accused of. So I don't know. I believe it was because of that, but I really was looking forward to coming to Kane, and I was disappointed that I didn't get to come speak because I love getting to speak to the college students and just to the people.
Does it give you sympathy for people on the other side? Because it seems to happen more often to conservatives, where they're going to get booked to speak on a college campus, and then they're deemed politically out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have a sympathy and an empathy for it too, because I mean, for me, because this is, you know, I'm not only a public speaker, you know, because I do other things. It wasn't like, man, okay, this is the way I make a living. So what, you know, but it's something that I like to do, and I'm inspired to do. So I was disappointed, and knowing that other people have to go through that, it kind of makes me understand. It makes me realize why I'm not a politician.
Gabriel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hey, thanks for putting me through. Common, much peace to you, Ashe. Welcome to New York. Thank you for being here.
Peace, good brother.
I have a question for you. Regarding your history with social justice through music, as well as your personal relationship with Kanye, and how that relates, how your take on his goings-on with President-elect Trump are happening right now, what's your take on all that?
Well, you know, Kanye definitely is, you know, that's a friend of mine and a brother of mine, and I love him dearly. And, you know, Kanye, throughout the years, whether it's creatively or, you know, certain things that philosophically, we don't agree on all things. But one thing I have to say, if Kanye went in to meet with Donald Trump, I believe he would at least speak up for what he said he spoke up for. So if that's his intention, I'm all for it. And I mean, you know, I'm glad that he went in and did that. You know, I particularly, that's not me. That's not what I would do. But that's my brother, and he has to make certain decisions for him. And we can agree to disagree and still be on the same mission.
Kanye 2020, Think that's for real?
Yeah, I think Kanye has, you know, he has a passion to do some things for the people. He does want to change things. And, like, I think, you know, something inside him wants to get out there and just be a voice and try to encourage people to be themselves more. So maybe he thinks he can do it through politics. So who knows?
Some people want me to ask you how you reconcile your history of protest music and, you know, tracks like A Song for Sada, which you mentioned, and participation in Selma and 13th and Black America Again, with your commercial commitments with Pepsi and Microsoft. Some people see it as selling out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, I just do my best to stick to what I believe in. If I do something with Microsoft, it won't be against who I am or what I believe in. If I do something like sponsored by, I don't know if I've done anything with Pepsi, but I did do something with Coca-Cola way back. And, I had a fight with myself at that time. Like, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? And I actually ended up doing a song for that commercial that was kind of talking about that battle. And for me, it's just more just being able to go places and do things and still stay true to who I am. And, that's where I stand with it. You know?
So it's money. It's a good payday. It's like, how much do I have to consider a company like morally out of bounds in order not to take a sponsorship deal?
Yeah, I mean, more than anything, because obviously, like, I put out records, I do movies. Some of the companies I deal with probably are out of bounds. And maybe if I did enough research, I would know that a lot of these companies are. But it's like, what am I doing for the company? Like, my Microsoft, like, commercials are usually talking about bringing something to humanity. Like, from the first commercial I did in voiceovers, it's always been about something. The energy of it has been like positive, even though it's obviously talking about advertising Microsoft and bringing that to people who may not have computers. The intent has for me has always been about, man, this humanity and connecting to this humanity. How can we use this technology to help people? Or, if I am doing something that's sponsored by I've done things where of course HIV AIDS. I've done things where, march for them. Then I make sure it's, something that I'm aligned with and I can speak on who I am and what I believe in.
One more fan before we run out of time. Diane in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for letting me slip in. Common, I just want to say how much you mean to me and my two daughters, and that I first became exposed to you when my daughter was a student at Columbia University, and you would come up there and rap for free under the name of Common Sense.
Yes.
So you became like my gateway to appreciate rap music. I followed your career. I love everything that you do, and I'm just honored to be able to share that with you today.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, and I really appreciate that. And are you from Chicago?
Long Island, actually.
Okay.
But now I live in Harlem.
Okay.
I retired as a teacher.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate the love, and I'm glad to be able to be that.
How'd you go from Common Sense to Common, or why did you shorten it?
Okay, well, I chose the name Common Sense originally while I was in college. That was the name I came up with for my rap name. But after 2 years of releasing music, two albums, it was a group that existed in California that had the same name, and at the time they were filing a lawsuit, and it was a lot of legal things that I had to go through, and I was like, well, I'll just have to shorten it to Common. And initially I was kind of disappointed because I chose the name Common Sense, and this is what I want to use. But then Common now, I feel good because it's like I feel like I represent the everyday people.
The common person.
Yes.
It's also universal. You were speaking in universal language before.
Yes.
And we all have something in common.
In common, yes.
So it's really universal in that respect. Yes. I love it in that way.
Way to work it,
man. One other issue. You performed to benefit a charter school in Brooklyn, I see. Is school choice an issue for you?
You know, for me, schools, it's like I just want to see kids get great educations, have great access to education and be educated in ways that are progressive and innovative that speak to them. My mother's a teacher, so I know how important, you know, just reading and being academically adept is. I know, like, getting introduced to things and that I know how helpful that has been to my life. So I just want to see kids have good education and have equal education for kids that are poor, kids that are middle class, kids that are whatever background. So I'm not opposed to charter schools. I supported them because it was like a lot of kids out there, and I felt I could say some inspirational things and also support what they're doing, because I went to a charter school and they were doing some great things with the kids. But I still also believe that I want to get into the educational system states and local wise and see what I can do to support that too.
Thank you for sitting through such a wide-ranging set of questions.
I love it.
Do you want to say anything on your way out the door more about 13th or the new album, Black America Again? Your choice.
Well, I just, say definitely check out the 13th. It's a very important movie, and I think it empowers us to go out and want to do more. And thank you for doing what you do. And I'm grateful to have the song Letter to the Free on the 13th. And really, more than anything, the album Black America Again is out, and I'm grateful. More than anything, I'm saying I'm grateful to be here, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Yes. Thanks so much for making this a stop.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Until the beat comp says the beat is sure shot. Come on.
I met this girl when I was 10 years old.